Without further ado, let's get the thoughts of Pierre Maguire from the NHL on NBC. Pierre, presentation, as always, of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
Really motivated, super motivated this morning. Pumped up. Jack Eichel's got me going. Good morning, JR. Hello, John.
And what is it about the comments that you are listening in, like everybody else? What is it about Jack's comments that's got you pumped up?
Because of the fact that he wants to compete. He wants to win. He's all about winning. I respect that about a player. That's what you want. That's high organizational standards. And if your captain's creating those, and I love what Sean said, because we talked about it right from the start of the year, that he was having an MVP kind of a year and nobody was really paying attention. And Sean was spot on. And again, JR, you can go back and listen to what we said earlier this year, probably back in late October, early November. That's the kind of season Eichel was having. And I love the fact that he's pumped up and jacked up and angry. That's going to be good. I think it's a good thing, not a bad thing. Buffalo's a tough market. The fans there pay with their own money. There's not a lot of corporate season ticket holders there. There are a lot of real families that buy tickets. And I love that market. I do think they're in the right, or heading in the right direction. And they'll have to address some things, but I do think they're on the right path. I really do.
You spend a ton of time in Boston. You go to a lot of college hockey practices. Of course, Jack Eichel played 1 year at BU, so you'd have a pretty good sense of what that player is all about. And there was a lot of criticism, Pierre, whether it was warranted or not, early on in him, is that he's selfish. Basically, he's running the team behind the scenes, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to ask you to confirm or deny that, but is there a difference of today's Jack Eichel compared to the Jack Eichel who came into the NHL?
Absolutely. I think when he was a 16-year-old kid and he was playing World Junior, he was Mr. Everything for USA Hockey, he kind of became entitled. And I think over time he realized that there's some tolls that have to be paid along the road. And he wasn't paying them all the time. And all of a sudden he started to realize, I got to start paying those tolls. And he is, and I spent a lot of time around Jack this year and around the Sabres, and I do think there's going to be a sea change there for the positive, not the negative, and I do think they're on the right track, and I think Jack's matured significantly. I also really like what Sean said. Auston Matthews is going through the same thing. Connor McDavid is going through the same thing. Nathan MacKinnon went through the same thing. There's a reason why they're first and second overall picks. They're getting picked by bad teams. Because the teams have been bad for a while.
Yeah, think of Nathan MacKinnon, how long that's been. In the case of Eichel, no doubt on the ice, Pierre, but part of JR's question, is the maturity there and the respect in the room to lead the guys at this point?
I really think it's getting better, Sean, all the time. And I saw a difference from the start of this year to the middle part of this year when I was going into Buffalo. I did a Sabres game in Toronto where I was really impressed. It could have gone south in a hurry for the Sabres, but they kept it on the rails, and Jack was a big reason why. So I've seen growth that way. And I would tell you, if I didn't see it, I would say, you know what, there's still some room to grow. I think he's right on the proper train right now. I really believe that.
I do not believe with the goaltending tandem they have right now they'll make the playoffs. And if they're going to rush Luukkonen, if you have a goaltender, or if you're a Braden Holtby and you become a free agent, are they going to be forced to go out and do something very bold in goal?
I think they're going to try to do something bold with their team. I don't know if they're going to target the goaltending position or not, but I would agree with you. The way that it's built right now, I'm not sure that that's going to be good enough for them to make it. But they've got some young players. Their Rochester team, coached by Chris Taylor, has done some phenomenal things in terms of growth of young players, one of them being Casey Mittelstadt, who got, you know, really rushed into the NHL out of organizational need. And then they realized, you know what, we're doing the wrong thing for this guy. And they put him down in the American League, and he really started to take over. And I think that's going to be a very positive thing for him and for the Sabres. So there's some things coming out of Rochester that I'll use Victor Olsen as an example. He was well on his way to a 30-goal year this year had he not been injured. And he was another guy that was developed in Rochester. They've done some really good things with their development program.
Jack Eichel was not the only Buffalo Sabre star to speak out yesterday. Rasmus Dahlin also spoke, the first overall pick just 2 years ago. The defenseman said from over in Sweden, it's, quote, it's tough to be here in Sweden when all my Swedish buddies are going back and playing and I'm staying here in Sweden and not playing. It pisses me off a little bit, actually, to not play right now. It's going to be a long summer, end quote. Would you have any concerns that your star player on the back end is feeling that way, Pierre?
He's not a star yet. He's going to be a star, but he's not a star yet. And I'm glad that he's angry, too. So if I were the Buffalo Sabres, I'd be directing somebody from the upper management team to get over there and talk to him and say, I hope you're going to use this as fuel to prepare yourself for next season and become much more consistent in your own zone and much more consistent when you're distributing the puck. Is he going to be a star player? Absolutely. But again, there's growth that goes into this. It's not that easy to be a defenseman in this league, let alone an 18 or 19-year-old defenseman on a mediocre team.
Pierre Dorion, the Sens general manager, appeared on our station yesterday, Pierre, on the afternoon show. Pierre's become very good at being cagey with his words, doesn't get himself trapped in anything that can come back and haunt him later. He's maybe learned some lessons over the years. But one piece of information, there's a couple of things that sort of I took out of it. One was that he was asked about, hey, with so much uncertainty about where the entire game is going forward with salary caps, et cetera, you know, does that make your job difficult, et cetera? And he said, quote, we have a very good idea of what the financial landscape will look down the road. And he's talking about, I guess, getting information from the National Hockey League. Behind the scenes, Pierre, do NHL teams indeed have a lot more information than maybe we've been led to believe about how this is all going to play itself out over the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years?
I think they're probably speculating on unearned income, what the TV numbers might be going forward, especially in the American side. I think they were hoping to get one number. They may not get to that number, and then that might change everything. But the one thing I know is they're very calculated with numbers in the league office in a good way, so that there is a proper information that's being dispersed. Revenue sharing is part of our league, Canadian Assistance Program. So there's a lot of things that they've got to be aware of when it comes to these programs, and numbers play a big part of that. To say that everybody knows exactly where it's going to be in a year from now, I don't think anybody can answer that 100%, with 100% certainty.
Pierre, was mentioned a month ago the possibility of 3 years of keeping the cap in around $80 million. I thought, oh my God, that's a lot. Would you ever see something as bold as the NHL ownership going to the PA and say, listen, we're business partners, we're going to roll the Seattle expansion money into the salary cap, basically, to kind of sustain it as a partnership and in good faith to try to extend the CBA?
I like the idea. I just don't see that happening. Each team, I think, is going to get a $20 million check out of the expansion, if my numbers are correct, so or close to $20 million. So I'd be surprised if we were going to see something like that. But anything's possible, Sean. I think the creativity of the idea is very good, very solid, but I just don't know if that can happen. You got to cater to 31 owners, and I just don't know if that would happen.
One of the other things Dorion talked about, and obviously Ottawa's got the two top picks, and he said, look, if we're lucky and we get 1 and 2, the difference between 1 and 2 and if the pick slid as far down, worst case scenario is 5-6, is that 1 and 2 potentially could play in the NHL next year. And you know, I didn't say he said this, but the implication was that 5 and 6 probably won't. Is that your read on the top players in this draft, that while a very deep draft and very good players available, that even at the top of the top end, that four-pick swing could determine guys who are NHL-ready and not this point?
I think that's more than fair to say. Now, a lot of it depends on what the players do during this pause time, I guess we'll call it. There's some that aren't doing anything. There's some that are really working at it. So it depends on what players are doing. But I would say Lafreniere's guaranteed to play in the league, and I think he'll thrive in the league. Stutzla, I think, could be another one that could play. It'll be interesting to see with Quentin Byfield. It'll be interesting to see with Jamie Drysdale. Interesting to see with Jake Sanderson. I think after that grouping, I think it's a reach to say that anybody's going to be playing in the league after that. And again, it depends on your organizational need. I think Jamie's a good enough player, sense-wise, to play in the league. I just don't know physically if that would be the right move for him at this juncture. And Sanderson just needs to get heavier and stronger. He's big enough, and his frame's going to fill out at one point, and he skates well enough. Byfield's big enough. And then the top two guys are more than capable. But depends on what happens with the defenseman, because I think they play a big role in this.
In exercising patience, you don't end up with Lafreniere, Byfield back to Junior, Stutzla, wherever. If you ended up with Stutzla or Byfield, and then, say, Sanderson, could you see a situation for Sens fan? Hey, be patient. A year from now, either the center will step in, Sanderson with a year playing next to Bernhard Docker, that they both could hop right into the NHL lineup a year from now?
Yeah, I think, that's the kind of thinking that really matters, JR. Sean's on it. That's managerial thought process for people that are confident in themselves. And you have to be a visionary, and you have to understand what your vision could possibly be. Some people just throw ideas out just to throw them out. That's a visionary idea from Sean. I do see something like that being possible. Very possible. I think that's really a smart way to look at it.
All right. Sean Simpson, visionary. Okay, I like that.
I didn't think I'd be working in a closet on morning radio in Ottawa 20 years ago, but hey, I got to look ahead.
As I mentioned, Pierre Dorion was very cagey with his answers. And, you know, he says, I don't want to tip my hand, you know, asked about the picks. I don't want to tip my hand in any way whatsoever of what we're going to do, asked about, you know, trading up, trading out, et cetera, et cetera. Are there some teams, Pierre, that have, I don't know, people behind the scenes that are going through every general manager's news Zoom conference, news conference, you know, every article that's written that's got quotes in newspapers, you know, right down to just to trying to glean a clue or two of maybe letting the cat out of the bag about plans for a draft? Like, do some teams do it, you know, to that nth degree?
They better be. I know we used to pay attention to everything. Back then, we didn't have an internet, but we'd have a clip service. And we'd be paying attention to the clips every single day. So the answer is yes. Now, information is king. Sometimes there's disinformation
that's put out there.
You have to be careful. So that's when you study tactics and tendencies of people over the course of a period of time. But usually, most teams are monitoring everything that's being said. And you have people on the now, obviously, that you don't now. But a lot of times, a lot of this information is parsed in press boxes or in airports or in hotel lobbies, believe it or not, where sometimes scouts have, you know, too many ideas going on and they share them, and sometimes they share them with the wrong people and then it can be used against you. So you got to be really careful. That's why it's not always cool to run with the herd when you're in the scouting business. Sometimes it's better to be on your own.
Yeah, World Junior, the more pops you have, the more you talk. And just to take people inside, this would be pretty funny for you, JR. Back in the 90s, Stan Fischler had a newsletter. And that was basically the communication. You get that fax to you on, I think, a daily basis, Pierre, if I can remember.
Yes.
And Stan would make you pay for it. And if you didn't pay for it, you were afraid he'd write bad things about you.
Oh, no.
So all the managers had his newsletter. And it was a great way if you wanted to slide stuff in. He could slide stuff in for you for other teams, right? It was pretty funny to go through that, Pierre, back in the day, right?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. 100%. The lady that worked with us, Craig Patrick's personal assistant, her name was Michelle Coliani. She was outstanding. She still works for the Penguins. Just amazingly well organized. And I remember I used to get to the office so early and work out and then break down tape. And as soon as I was done, you know, showering, you come back out, you're starting to break down more tape before practice, and the clip service was right on the table. And one of the things that was on there was a Fischler newsletter. Absolutely, Sean. Absolutely.
I won't ask you, maybe you'd share it, but maybe you won't. But thinking about the managers around the NHL right now, maybe the guys that have been around for quite a while, are there some guys who you absolutely know that that stuff coming out of their mouth, any comments, especially regarding draft and trades and free agency in the summer, absolutely is said with a purpose as opposed to just answering a question?
Yes, absolutely. Messaging all the time. I don't give you names, but I could think of at least four that I would be pretty familiar with that are always trying to message that way. I know one team that is probably not interviewing too many prospects, and if they are, it's to probably lead people away from some of the guys they want to draft because they don't want it out there that they're actually interviewing people because they're really interested in those players. So you got to be paying attention to that, too, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now, especially this year. It's a far different year than any other year in terms of preparation for the draft.
At a draft, you have your manager, you have your head scout, or the guy that basically has done the amateur scouting next year, so not a big deal. But at the end of the day, how much of an advantage is it that a Pierre Dorion has run a draft? Because the art of doing that and maneuvering around isn't easy for a guy like a Rob Blake, who really has no clue when it comes to that.
I think that's such a valid point, and that's the one thing. If you got to know, when you're a player, never lose your identity as a player, and when you're a manager, never lose your identity of what got you to be a manager. So some guys were pro scouts, some guys were former coaches, some guys were just former players thrown into the office, and then they need to surround themselves with people that actually know the hockey business. But when you're an amateur scout in particular, that gives you, I think, a huge leg up on a lot of other people that are managers, because you know what goes into preparation for a draft. You know what goes into developing a draft list. You know what goes into contacts for information on draft picks because you've been through it before. But the biggest thing is you know how to run the draft table. And it's a little bit more complicated than just throwing a ball up against the wall and see what kind of market's going to leave. You really have to understand the trials and tribulations of running a draft board, and it's a little bit more difficult than people think.
John Davidson met with the New York media yesterday. Of course, the Rangers are going to end up playing Carolina if and when the play-in round happens. And when asked about the goaltending, he said, as far as he's concerned, he said, look, coach's decision at the end of the day. But as far as he's concerned, any of the three guys in Lundqvist, Gorgiev, and Shesterkin are possibilities. If I had to ask Pierre Maguire right now, based on what he saw from the New York Rangers throughout this season, if you had to put one guy in the net for game one and hopefully win you a series, who would it be of those three?
Shesterkin. But you know how we were just talking about messaging? John Davidson's been at this for so long, and I think one of the things that really helps John, and he's a very, very good friend, is the fact that he was in the media. So he knows how to message so appropriately well. And by the fact that he didn't alienate Henrik Lundqvist in that discussion is brilliant, because it motivates Lundqvist. It says, I got a fighting chance. It puts pressure on the other guys to step in and be ready if they do get an opportunity. And I just think that's what you were just talking about, Jared. It's so appropriate that you brought up that name of John Davidson, because I think one of the things that's happened since he's gone into New York, it's deflected a lot of attention away from Jeff Gordon and Chris Drury, and it's allowed them to do their really aggressive rebuild, and it's allowed John to message appropriately with their market, which is such a media-savvy market. And it's made a huge difference. It really has made a big difference.
There's never been a person that's less, built for the media than Jeff Gordon. There's nothing wrong with that, Pierre. And you're so right, that face. I also hate this Lundqvist talk about, you know what, Hank deserves it. Nobody in the National Hockey League deserves anything. The best player should play. And just, sorry, third point. Do you think Panarin should be legitimately in the conversation for the MVP?
Absolutely, I believe he should. He's really helped redefine what the New York Rangers are all about. He's helped redefine. Their rebuild explode unbelievably well. And the biggest thing is, even though Mika Zibanejad has been a tremendous New York Ranger, he's never been this good. And I think Panarin's been a big part of that, huge part of it.
Yeah, and there's not an official top three for the Hart Trophy, but I think NHL.com put out something that alluded to the fact that that I think Pastrnak is in with Draisaitl and is it MacKinnon? I'm gapping on who the top. Anyway, it was a lot of controversy that Panarin was not considered to be in the top three. So
yeah, as there should be. I think Sean raised a really interesting issue, but I can tell you, I haven't done a lot of Rangers games, and I watch every one of their games. The biggest thing is Panarin brought huge electrifying offensive skills. He's made everybody there better. He really has.
Well, Sean Simpson is a visionary, as I've come to learn. We've all come to learn this morning. Yes. And that's a good way to end the week. Thanks, Pierre. As always, enjoy the weekend, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again on Monday.
Be safe, everybody. Thank you very much for an awesome week. Matt Hamer in particular, reaching out and finding me all the time. I love it. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you soon.